Me, I sleep with it on the floor.
I climbed down obediently, pulled off the mattress, and climbed back up.
I changed my mind, she said. I think I sleep with a mattress on the bed. Summer.
I had a feeling she was doing this on purpose, but what could I do? I climbed down and put the mattress back on the bed. This time I waited.
Well?
I asked.
Floor is better.
That's what I figured.
You smart mouth me?
No, it's just what I figured, that's all. She looked at me suspiciously, but I just pulled the mattress to the floor without another word. Then I turned out the light and got in bed.
Ah, kitamakura,
Oba-chan said. She groaned and I heard rummaging before she groaned again. Kitamakura was the Japanese superstition that sleeping with your head to the north was bad luck. The beds had already been made with the pillows on the north. I supposed Oba-chan had just moved around so that her head was now facing south, but then she said,
Summer.
Yes?
I want to sleep east. Change my mattress. It's too heavy for me.
In fact, it wasn't heavy at all, but I climbed down carefully and felt my way to the light switch. I didn't know how I was going to survive the whole summer without killing somebody.
Oh, never mind, she said. I like a south after all.
You're doing this on purpose, I cried out.
What do you mean?
She gave me her best innocent look. That made me even more suspicious. You're making me climb up and down just because you think it's funny.
What's funny about that?
Well, do you want anything else before I get back in bed? I asked, exasperated.
What would I want in the middle of the night?
Oba-chan lay down and closed her eyes. By the time I got back in bed, I was wide awake. I stared into the blackness and thought about practice kissing my hand and pretending it was Robbie. But somehow, Oba-chan would probably know, and I didn't want to be humiliated. I turned on my side, my back to the rest of the room, and gave my hand a little peck. I wasn't sure how stiff to keep my lips. I wasn't sure how much to move my lips. None of my friends had ever kissed a boy, but another girl in class had kissed a boy at a party, and after she did it, the boy passed her a note in class calling her the Rock of Gibraltar because he said her lips were so hard. She had cried in class, right in the middle of math. Something like that could pretty much ruin your whole life.
Chapter 7. When I opened my eyes the next morning, Oba-chan wasn't on her mattress. Jazz and Ji-chan were still sleeping. I climbed down, thunder jumped, and padded toward the kitchen area. I stopped when I saw that the Irish guys, Mr. McCoy and the Parkers, were already eating cereal, all squeezed together on the built-in benches. Mr. Dark was probably on the road from Kansas, hauling the fourth combine. Then Oba-chan spotted me and said, Summer, you eat the cereal. Hurry, before it's all gone. I walked into the room feeling thoroughly embarrassed to be seen by Robbie in one of the stupid t-shirts I always slept in. Across the front it said, I love housework, not.
I love housework, not, Robbie read in a monotone.
Aye, I'll make someone a fine wife one day, Mick said, and everybody laughed.
I was trapped. I snatched up a box of Cap'n Crunch and poured it into a bowl, adding just a little milk since there wasn't much left. Oba-chan shook her head at me for some reason. I held the bowl in one hand and the spoon in the other.
Oh, sit down, dear, said Mrs. Parker. There, squeeze in next to Robbie.
Everybody squished together even more, and I sat next to Robbie, our shoulders pressing against each other. Even though my t-shirt already reached almost to my knees, I stretched it down as much as I could.
It's the strangest thing. Your face is flaming red, Mrs. Parker said. Do you have a fever?
Everybody looked at me. I'm fine, I said. I faked a smile and spooned cereal into my mouth. Mrs. Parker laughed.
I think you have the messiest hair I've ever seen.
Yes, ma'am, it gets very tangled at night, I said. I thrash.
Could this possibly get any more embarrassing?
Goodness, maybe you should cut it.
Yes, maybe. And yes, it could get more embarrassing, because then Robbie said, "You smell funny, like insecticide."
"Robbie has a very good nose," Mrs. Parker said.
"Great. Last year, I actually almost died from malaria that I caught in Florida, so I use DEET. It gets on my clothes."
He looked at me thoughtfully, as if I had just said something profound. One of his green eyes held a tiny spot of hazel. He was the most beautiful person I had ever seen. Then suddenly he looked mischievous.
"You heard of washing machines?" he asked, almost tauntingly.
I paused. I thought about something smart to say, something that would unembarrass myself. Then I said, "We don't have a washing machine at home. We put soap and water in the bathtub and I stomp on our laundry."
Robbie paused. Then, since I was only kidding, I smiled slyly and he smiled back. "You're kidding. You're okay," he said, then poured some more cereal.
Yeah, no matter what else happened, the entire day was now a success because I was okay.
I finished my Cap'n Crunch while everybody talked about harvest. If everything went well, we would be heading for Oklahoma in about a week. Rain was coming, but during growing season, Texas had been in a drought, so there wasn't much business here. Some harvesters weren't even bothering to come down to Texas. According to Mr. Parker, to get to Oklahoma in time meant 16-hour days every day. Farmers and custom harvesters weren't happy until every single grain was in the elevator. Only then could anyone relax. Robbie checked his watch as if he had an appointment and turned to me.
"Did you bring a lot of schoolwork?"
"Yeah, but I probably won't do all of it. The teachers really don't expect harvesting kids to do all their homework."
"I know, but I gotta do all mine anyway. My dad's a tyrant. Are you gonna help your grandmother cook?"
"Uh-huh. That's my biggest chore. I have to help with every single meal. Washing the dishes, boiling turkey, whatever. Do you have chores?"
"Like I said, my dad's a tyrant, so almost every time we change farms, I have to clean and check the combines. I check all the fluid levels, the engine oil, the water, the hydraulic oil. I check the tires. Then I look over the sickle sections and guards. Then I grease all the 10-hour zerks. There are also 25, 50, and 100-hour zerks, but they need to be greased only after the machine runs that many hours. I blow out the filters. Then I have to wash the windows and clean the inside of the cabs."
"That sounds like a lot of stuff," I said.
I knew only a bit about cleaning combines, because once when I couldn't sleep on harvest, I went outside and found my dad cleaning his combine. Many custom harvesters made each employee clean his or her own combine. We were lucky to have an extra person, namely Robbie, to help us.
"It takes about an hour per combine," he shrugged. "I like it. I'd better like it, because I'm going to be doing it until I go to college."
"Wow," I said. He had three little freckles right above his lips.
"Wow, what?"
"Wow, I never even think about college."
"How old are you again?"
he asked. "I'm 12, but I'm really 13 because that'll be my next age." That made no sense, but Robbie didn't say anything. There was a knock on the door, and then it opened before anyone had a chance to say, "Come in." It was Mr. Lasky.
"Has anybody checked the moisture level yet? We had a pretty dry night. Might be time to cut already," he said.
"I checked 30 minutes ago, and it was 14.5, Mr. Parker told him. "Then it might be ready now."
Though he wasn't finished eating, Mr. Parker got right up and went outside with Mr. Lasky. Everybody followed except for Oba-chan and me. It didn't change my life if the wheat was ready to cut or not. I started clearing off the table. It was pretty easy because, like I said, in the menu books, Sundays were the only days when we made a full breakfast, with scrambled eggs and sausage and toast and stuff. I loved iri tamago, eggs scrambled with sugar and shoyu and rice wine. It sounded so weird when people called shoyu soy sauce. It made it sound like Tabasco or something instead of the clean and perfect thing that it was.
Anyway, I made a mental note to ask Mrs. Parker if we could make that for everybody one Sunday. Oba-chan picked up a bowl I'd put in the rack.
What's this?
She asked, pointing at it. I had to admit there was a little piece of gunk stuck to the outside of the bowl. I took the bowl back and rewashed it while Oba-chan checked and then dried every dish in the rack.
I clean counters, you walk thunder, then do homework.
I got a tennis ball and walked out with Thunder into the bright sunshine. I threw the ball for him for about 15 minutes until his tongue was hanging long out of his mouth. I got him some water, hoping he'd perk up and play longer so I wouldn't have to do homework yet. But he just lapped up the whole bowl and went to the camper door and looked at me. Okay, then. Homework time for me. Inside, Jazz was at the kitchen table doing his so-called homework. He was supposed to be making a detailed family tree, but I knew he was making up some of it. Our family consisted of farmers and fishermen as far back as anyone knew. But when I'd sneaked a peek at his paper earlier, he'd claimed we had several samurai in our background. I took down a separate piece and finished reading the middle part. So I'd read the first part first, the last part second, and the middle part third. I didn't know how I would write my book report because I just plain didn't understand the book. Next, I read the parts I hadn't read. The book was supposed to be for high schoolers, but a sister of one of my friends was in high school, and she thought it was the worst book she ever read. And even though I kind of agreed with her, I also kind of disagreed with her. Maybe I should just write the truth and say that it was the worst book I ever read, but that it made me wonder things about myself. It made me think that each person had all sorts of things going on inside of them, but most of these things would never surface unless circumstances were exactly right. So basically, inside of me was a big wilderness, and then around the wilderness was a nice mowed lawn. After I thought that, I admit I figured I was kind of a genius. The only problem was that I had taken an IQ test once, so I knew I wasn't a genius. Ji-chan had wanted Jazz and me to take the test so he could understand us better. Jazz scored very superior, but when it came to real life, he basically flunked. I ended up with an overall score called high average. But what I didn't understand was, did that mean I always operated on high average, or did that mean sometimes I operated on very superior and other times on low average? On the other hand, whatever. I hugged Thunder to me. Once, Jazz told a boy in my class that I still slept with a stuffed penguin, and so I told Jazz that I loved Thunder 10 times more than I loved him. I got grounded for a week by my mother. Her big concern was that my love for Thunder might stunt my socialization, as she called it. How could I be unsocialized when I had so many friends? If I put together all the times I had ever been grounded, I wondered how much time that would be. 3 months? 5? 8? After Oba-chan had cleaned the table and counters, she lay on her back in the kitchen area. After a while, she pushed herself up with a grunt and said,
"We go to a supermarket now. Mrs. Parker like fresh meat, not frozen, and we need fruit and vegetable."
Jazz and I stood up. "Can I read what you wrote?" I asked him. "No, it's none of your business." "But your family tree should be exactly the same as my family tree."
"Then what do you need to read it for?" he asked.
We all got into the pickup, Thunder too, and headed for town. We drove down the dirt road to the highway.
"I wonder which way is supermarket," Oba-chan said. "Summer, you pick, and if you wrong, you make a lunch by yourself all week."
"Why didn't you ask someone?" I asked.
"Because nobody's as smart as you," Jazz said.
"I'm not gonna pick," I protested. Oba-chan nodded her head a few times and turned left. We drove down the highway, surrounded by wheat fields. You just couldn't get away from them. Out of the blue, Oba-chan said,
15 times 4.
She liked to test my math because I wasn't very good at it. Of course, we were way past multiplication tables in school. 60, I said.
"No."
"Oba-chan, it is." She pulled the truck over and took out a pen and paper from her handbag.
"Let's see,
Terry, too. Okay, you're right. See? You say I never admit when I'm wrong. Take that back.
But this is the first time.
Take back and say you make mistake.
I take it back and I made a mistake, I said. I didn't see how she could turn her being wrong into me saying I made a mistake. So I added, but you made a mistake too.
That's the subject finished, she replied.
Jazz hit his head softly on the dashboard. With each thunk, he'd say one word.
I didn't make a mistake.
Basically, Thunder was the only normal person in the truck, and he wasn't even a person. Jazz suddenly sat very straight and still, and then his shoulders relaxed again. Then he started talking.
So last night, I woke up and my action figures were alive. They were talking about a raging battle. The sergeant asked me if I wanted to go fight, but I didn't want to because I was too sleepy.
I looked out the window as Jazz's voice continued.
The sergeant told me to take a cold shower to wake myself up, so I did that. But then I thought, I still didn't want to go to battle because I'm just a kid. Battles are for grown-ups.
I leaned back as he went on, talking about what each action figure was wearing, what their dog tag numbers were, what their hair looked like, if they had skinny or fat fingers, and a million other details. My parents had taken him to 3 different child psychologists in Wichita. One psychologist said he had ADHD, one said he had PDD-NOS, and one said he was OCD. I wasn't sure what the initials stood for, except OCD, which meant obsessive-compulsive disorder. That was why he would use only his 3 special cups. All 3 doctors wanted him on medication for his head banging, but my parents refused. So did my grandparents. We had all learned to live with him, so what was the problem? It was just a part of life. Though nothing was in front of us, Oba-chan suddenly slowed down, and we all jerked forward with the momentum. My grandmother's braking strategy was always a mystery to me. I was about to ask her why she'd braked, but then thought better of it, because she would only say something that would somehow make it all my fault. I might not have been a genius in general, but when it came to Oba-chan, I did have a smart thought now and then. I leaned over Thunder and made little noises like most people would for a baby. Oba-chan kept up her strange braking strategy. Finally, I couldn't stop myself. Oba-chan, why do you keep braking? I asked.
Every time you make noise to Thunder, I think I about to hit something. It's your fault if you no like cold taxi.
I ignored that. There was no wind and the wheat was still. I wondered what the fortune teller would say about that. The sky filled suddenly with clouds, but they disappeared so quickly that you would have had a hard time convincing someone it had just been cloudy. I peered through the back windshield at the highway curving through the wheat. Highway. Wheat. Sky. So simple. Compared to a city like Wichita, it all looked like a doorway to another world. Our world. I always had this weird feeling as I stared out at the wheat, like the dust of my personality was settling a bit. Like instead of me ever being confused or with my thoughts all over the place, I was just me, without any questions about anything or any worries or even any sadness. That was impossible because I didn't even like wheat. Did I? A mosquito zzzed in the air in front of me, and I smashed it by clapping my hands together. I looked at it. It was a male. It had the feathery proboscis. In that old movie, The Fly, Jeff Goldblum was half fly, half man. When I was so sick, that's kind of what I felt like. I felt like I was turning into something that wasn't me. Some scientists wanted to eradicate all the mosquitoes in the world because they thought only good could come of that and it would prevent diseases like dengue, West Nile virus, and malaria. I wondered if that was true or whether every living thing had a purpose. What are you doing in here? I asked the smashed mosquito.
Oba-chan, summer is talking to dead mosquitoes again, Jazz said, causing Oba-chan to laugh.
Then Oba-chan stopped laughing and said,
Summer and Jazz always make me forget pain.
The supermarket was air-conditioned. Basically, it was paradise. Except for two cashiers at the front, it was totally empty as far as I could see. I didn't get to go to a supermarket very often. At home, we just went to the local grocers in town. There had been a big sign outside saying, Grand Opening. Below that, it said, If you build it, they will come. I was kind of surprised by just how big this store was and how empty. Oba-chan handed me some recipes for the rest of the week. I had to get all the ingredients that weren't crossed out. Mrs. Parker had miscalculated how much cereal everybody would eat. I put 5 boxes of Cheerios into my cart. Original Cheerios was the best-selling cereal in the country. It had been invented in 1941 and was called Cheerios until 1945. I knew this because we once had to do a paper on one of the top 10 crops raised in Kansas. Oats were much less important to the economy of Kansas than wheat, but I chose to write about oats because I figured I already knew a lot about wheat, and I just felt like learning something new. There were something like 12 different types of Cheerios the last time I counted. In the dairy section, I found buttermilk, fat-free milk, flavored milk, lactose-free milk, low-fat milk, reduced-fat milk, whole milk, almond milk, coconut milk, rice milk, and soy milk. Mrs. Parker wanted 2% milk. This really annoyed Oba-chan because she was a firm believer in whole milk, especially for growing kids. So I bought an extra carton of regular milk for Jazz and me, even though it wasn't on the list, and even though Mrs. Parker had told Oba-chan to get exactly what was on the list. I guess we were already going rogue. Then we bought all the other stuff and checked out while the cashier smiled almost the whole time, even when nobody was talking. Then she smiled harder and said, Thank you, we hope to see you again. The whole way back, Oba-chan was growling, Rrr. So I knew she was in a lot of pain. She took 7 aspirin, then said,
If I die from aspirin poisoning, Parker fire us. Here, take this.
She pulled over and handed the cell phone to me. When we got a signal, I helped Oba-chan call Mrs. Parker.
We almost back, she told her. Yes? 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 Yes, goodbye.
She handed the phone back to me.
Make sure that turns off.
I looked at the phone. It's turned off.
If you wrong and she hear me, you grounded. I keeping a list of every time you grounded during harvest, then you be grounded for a long time.
It's off, I said again.
I just want to say then, I want to say that woman drive me crazy.
Well, she's just very detail-oriented, I said.
I like detail too. I love detail. Detail my most favorite thing in the world. But she's driving me crazy.
When we arrived at the Lasky farm, it was already afternoon. The combines were going strong. When we got back to the camper, I called in on the radio. Mrs. Parker, we're back. Should we make everyone sandwiches?
Yes, of course. I've decided to move dinner to 8 for this job.
Okay.
Personally, I believe in 3 nice big meals a day, not in those 6 smaller meals that are so popular today.
Yes, ma'am.
Personally, I believe in the traditional method of just about anything.
Oba-chan was watching me glumly. Yes, ma'am, I told Mrs. Parker.
I'd like to get on one of those cooking shows. I think my recipes are just as good. I looked into self-publishing a cookbook. I think it would be a bestseller.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyway, you'd better get to making the sandwiches.
Yes, ma'am. I put the radio down. Oba-chan was pressing her palms against her temples.
She'd give a detail a bad name.
Oba-chan made the sandwiches and went to drive them out to the combines. I went into the bedroom and took out my lucky amber with the mosquito in it. I pressed it against my forehead for luck and then meditated the way Ji-chan had taught me. First, I did alternating nostril deep breathing. Then I lay down on my back and spread out my limbs. Thunder took that as an invitation and climbed back and forth over me 3 times before settling down on my shins.
Ji-chan liked me to pick a person to open my heart to. I picked Jensen. I accept you for who you are, I said. I hadn't even realized he was still in my mind, but apparently he was. I tried to picture him. But usually when I closed my eyes, all I saw were chaotic lights and shapes. Mrs. Parker once said she could see pages and pages of writing in her head if she'd just read a book. She could pick out a page number and know exactly what was on that page. After I did my breathing, I opened my heart to Jazz, as Ji-chan sometimes asked me to do. Then I tried to untangle some of what I saw when I closed my eyes. I could never quite meditate because of the chaos in my head. After a while, I thought I was awake, unless I was asleep. The next thing I knew, Jazz was leaning his face a foot over mine. "Hey, Summer?" Jazz asked. "You surprised me," I yelped. "Two kids at school said I'm a freak." "Which two kids?" "Just two kids." "You're not a freak," I said. "Why do you think they said it then?" "Because they don't know what they're talking about," I told him firmly. "Summer, can you just answer honestly?" I considered that and decided to tell him what my true opinion was at that moment. "I think you're a very intense boy and are really good at concentrating, and Ji-chan says people like that are very successful in life." "Like thinking hard can make me successful?" Jazz asked. Something in his voice indicated that he was already moving on from the idea that he was a freak and was now playing with the possibility that he was a great thinker. "Yes." "That's interesting," he said, clearly pondering which particular type of greatness he should aspire to. I could hear voices in the kitchen and realized Robbie was talking to Oba-chan. I really wanted to go out there to see Robbie, but Jazz's earnest expression, with a few scars on his forehead, told me that he needed my full attention right then.
"So why can't I make friends with any kids from school?"
Trying to be helpful, I said, "Sometimes you say the wrong things at the wrong time." I heard Robbie saying, "Okay, thanks, bye." Then I heard the door open and close. Rats.
"How can you say the wrong thing at the wrong time?" Jazz asked me. "If you have a thought, why not say it?"
"It's like that time the teacher said you started singing during a test."
"I got an A on that test."
I ignored that and said, "There was that time we went into town and you asked that boy from your class if he wanted to come over and play." I felt the camper shake from the wind. Tonight would be dry and windy. The dust and bits of cut wheat would make the combines look like gigantic tumbleweeds.
"What was wrong with asking him that?"
"You can't just ask someone that."
"Why?"
"Because he's not your friend yet."
"How can he become my friend if he doesn't come over?"
Jazz was making my brain hurt. I heard Oba-chan growling and pushed myself up, then pulled my knees in close and rested my chin on them. I didn't know what to say. He was a strange boy. "You'll make another friend," I said finally. "It just might take time." I stood up. "I have to help Oba-chan. You coming?"
"No."
In the kitchen, Oba-chan was making lasagna. She didn't even turn her head.
"You make brownies," she ordered.
"How did you know it was me?"
"I have eyes on back of head."
I took out the mixing bowl. "You always lecture me to tell the truth."
"I never lie."
"But you just said you have eyes on the back of your head."
"Did I know who come in without looking?"
"Yes."
"Then I no lie."
At almost 8, we drove dinner out to the combines. I'd seen Robbie on a dirt bike ahead of us. At the combines, Oba-chan and I arranged all the food on the open bed of the pickup, buffet style. We'd set out a bunch of folding canvas chairs for everyone. The drivers all stretched their necks and backs before turning to the food. "It's lasagna," I said proudly, even though I hadn't made it, "and brownies for dessert." Mrs. Parker was already looking over the food.
"Oh, dear, the broccoli is overcooked."
She turned to me and Oba-chan.
"If there's one thing I hate, it's overcooked vegetables.
Wasn't that included in the directions at the start of my menu book?
Oba-chan didn't say a thing, so that left it to me to admit, we didn't get a chance to read the whole preface. The broccoli is still kind of crunchy.
Oh, honey, you must read the preface. It's my whole theory of cooking. I just wrote it this year. It needs to be a tad crunchier.
I'm sorry, I'll read it, I promise. I felt totally deflated. She leaned over and lightly sniffed the lasagna, but didn't comment. She only glanced at the brownies. Everybody grabbed the reusable plastic plates and utensils and sat down. I stood watching. Mick stuck a big forkful of lasagna in his mouth, then made an unpleasant face. When he had swallowed, he said, "A bit cheesy, isn't it?" Right then and there, I decided I hated Mick. Mrs. Parker looked offended.
"It's my own personal recipe."
Then she took a bite, smacked her mouth together a few times, and shook her head.
"Oh, no, no, no. This is all wrong. Too much Parmesan and no basil at all."
Since Oba-chan obviously wasn't going to participate in this conversation, I said, "There actually wasn't any fresh basil at the store." Finally, Oba-chan said,
"Not enough Parmesan in your recipe. Lasagna need, what you call it? Tang. I put more in."
Mrs. Parker looked at Oba-chan as if she couldn't believe her ears. There was a deadly silence. Then Mr. Parker said,
"Oh, come on, honey. It's actually good. I like the tang."
She looked at him as if she was going to take a butcher knife and plunge it into his heart.
"Tang, no tang. All I know is this is good food and I'm hungry," he said. "Sit down and eat, sweetheart. Mick, cheese is good for you."
Mrs. Parker turned to Oba-chan.
"This must be the last time, and I do mean the last, that you deviate from a recipe."
Oba-chan said,
"What deviate?"
"It means change," Mrs. Parker answered. "You must follow my recipes exactly. I just want you to know that before I married my husband, I went to cooking school and worked as a chef for 7 years.
Oba-chan nodded her head and said,
"You great cook, I know that. But your school no teach you about the tang."
I was stunned that Oba-chan would talk back to Mrs. Parker.
"In the future, I follow all your recipe exactly," Oba-chan continued. "But I have a very strong feeling about tang. But you pay me, I leave the tang out. I give you my promise."
I'd never even heard Oba-chan use the word tang before. Oba-chan and I sat down and began eating with the others. It really wasn't half bad. Yes, it had more tang than the usual lasagna, but it still tasted good. Everybody scarfed down their food. All the guys even went for seconds. Then it was brownie time. Nobody commented as they ate their brownies, so I guess that was good. Personally, I thought they were excellent brownies. Then Robbie suddenly said,
"Good brownies."
"I made them," I said, and I had to admit, they were excellent. I wanted to make him brownies every day for the rest of the harvest. Chapter 8. The next morning I woke up first to cook. It was Sunday, so that made it a full breakfast day, with all 12 of us looking forward to our weekly treat. I was still in a happy mood because Robbie had liked my brownies. In fact, I started to think that perhaps they were the best brownies I had ever tasted. And to tell the truth, I mistakenly put in a little more sugar than the recipe called for. Ji-chan walked into the kitchen and stared at the pan I planned to use to scramble 30 eggs. It was made of Teflon. We didn't have anything made of Teflon at home because Ji-chan refused to eat anything cooked on weird pots and pans that were coated with who knew what kind of chemicals. Ji-chan stumbled backward with a hand on his heart. I knew it was because of the Teflon. I waited for him to recover. "Don't worry," I said. I took out a smaller stainless steel pan to cook his 3 sunny-side-up eggs in, using the special oil we'd brought for him, a mix of butter from grass-fed cows, organic coconut oil,
and organic extra virgin olive oil. Ji-chan ate as much junk food as anyone, but he balanced it with this magical oil. Unfortunately, dishwashing was one of my chores both at home and on harvest, so I had scraped quite a few pans in my life and pretty much thought that whoever had invented Teflon had done the world a big favor. I wondered if the inventor of Teflon was someone like Jazz, some brainy dude locked up in a lab 12 hours a day while he chewed gum and blew bubbles exactly the same size, over and over.
"I got a very bad feel about Teflon," Ji-chan said. "Teflon invented by someone who cared more about the easy than about the good."
I cooked everyone else's eggs at the same time and toasted and buttered a loaf of wheat bread. I fried 30 sausages and started the coffee and the hot water for tea. I radioed the Parkers. "Breakfast is ready," I said. Then I felt kind of shy about going over to the driver's quarters. Finally, I crept forward and peered into their room. "Breakfast," I said, but not loudly enough to wake anyone. I took a big breath. "Breakfast," I said, even more loudly than I'd meant to.
"Go, I'm not deaf," Mick said.
The guys started getting out of bed, some of them in their underwear. For half a second I stared, but then I hurried from the room. There was hair all over their chests, a lot. Oba-chan was setting the kitchen table. Breakfast was always indoors. I didn't know why. I guess that was just the way Mrs. Parker liked it. No harvesting operation I ever heard of cooked a hot breakfast for the workers, even on Sundays. But like I said, the Parkers had started out as drivers themselves, so they really liked to take good care of their team. Rory, Sean, and Mick came into the kitchen at the same time. I sat down with my plate and slid to the very end of one of the benches. I didn't know whether I wanted Robbie to sit next to me or not. It was kind of stressful sitting next to him. On the other hand, it was also fun and exciting. Mick took some eggs and 5 sausages and slid in next to me. He hadn't bothered brushing his hair, and tufts of it stood up on his head.
"Summer, what's the crack?" he said.
But I couldn't stop staring at his plate. Who eats 5 sausages, I thought. Now there were only 25 left for everyone else. But I could make that work by not eating any until after everyone else had eaten theirs.
"Summer?"
Mick asked. "The usual," I replied. "Got up at 6.
"Summer, is there milk in it?" Rory asked.
"Yes, in the fridge." I forgot what exactly "in it" meant to Irish people, but it didn't exactly mean "in it" like we thought.
"Jakers, you want milk. The amount of milk you drink, you're going to turn into a cow," Mick exclaimed.
"What's that? I like milk, all right. My ma always gave me a lot."
"Ah, still a mama's boy, are you then?" Mick teased.
"I like milk, sure. It doesn't make me a mama's boy," Rory retorted, slipping in next to Mick. "Well, these long days will make a man out of you."
"If it doesn't break him," Sean said, thumping his plate on the table.
Sean had taken 4 sausages. Well, the sausage situation wasn't my fault. I had made exactly as many sausages as Mrs. Parker had said to in her binder. Oba-chan poured a glass of milk for Rory and passed it down to him. I felt more comfortable with them than with the 2 American drivers. I wasn't sure why, but maybe it was because I felt closer in the pecking order to the Irish guys. The Americans were older, so I had to show them more respect. Mrs. Parker swept into the camper, her chin rising a bit as she sniffed the air, a lot like thunder would do. I looked over at Ji-chan and saw him closing his eyes the way he often did when eating. It was like he was savoring his magic oil. I didn't know what to say, so I kept it basic.
"So what's it like where you guys live?" I asked the Irishman.
"Oh, it's lovely, beautiful countryside," Mick replied, his voice suddenly catching fire. He was the most talkative of the 3.
"Tell her about your crop circles, then," Rory said, elbowing him with a laugh.
"You can make fun of it, but it's an honest day's work," Mick shot back, returning the elbow.
"Last year, and the year before that, he took people on tours of crop circles all over Ireland,"
Rory explained, setting down his fork.
Mostly Americans, and he charges them €1,000 a tour. He probably makes the circles by himself.
Mick chewed on a sausage, unperturbed. He swallowed and turned toward me.
It's a mystery, and they want to see a mystery. A join together a mystery and someone who wants to see a mystery. That's all it is.
He spoke wearily, as if he had said this many times before. It struck me that he was basically a salesman, selling a mystery to Americans. He then speared another sausage and put the whole thing in his mouth at once. Rory laughed loudly.
They can talk for an hour about nothing but crop circles, but don't get him started because he might bore you to death.
I don't even know what a crop circle is, I said.
Rory groaned.
Now you're going to get him started.
Rory was a skinny guy with curly red hair on his head and his chest. Robbie entered the kitchen next, asking,
Is there coffee?
Oba-chan said I couldn't drink coffee because it would stunt my growth. I wondered if she was taking note of how tall Robbie was. Although I have to say that once, Oba-chan had let me taste some, and it was so awful I had no plans to ever drink any again. I had been looking forward to drinking coffee my whole life, but after that I had to cross it off my list of things I wanted to do one day. Actually, I didn't really have a list. It was more like things I made mental notes of. Right then, I made a mental note to start keeping a list of things I wanted to do one day. Honestly, I would be happy if I could just visit the Badlands once a month or so. I think that would help me settle my personality. Mick leaned forward and said,
Robbie, can you get me a couple of sausages?
That meant he was eating 7 sausages so far, 7. Then he turned back to me.
A crop circle is a huge geometric pattern that appears in a field, usually a wheat field. They're mostly in England, but we get them in Ireland too, he said.
So why do people want to see them? I asked. I saw Mrs. Parker leaning over the sausages and counting.
Because no one knows how they got there. Everyone is different, and some are as big as 200 or 300 meters. Even the complicated ones are perfectly symmetrical, he said, starting to get excited. We don't know if it's the Earth trying to communicate with us or what.
Some people are gobshites, Rory said.
Gobshites were gullible people. I had picked that up during the last harvest we'd worked.
But you know, I think Mick is becoming a gobshite too. He actually believes everything he tells his customers.
Ji-chan looked up from his plate.
What? Gobshite?
It's someone gullible, I told him. Ji-chan looked surprised.
Nothing wrong with gullible. How you be happy if not gullible?
Everyone looked at him silently for a moment, but he didn't explain.
Some circles are not a mystery. They're made by humans as hoaxes. But others are mysterious, to be sure, Mick went on defensively. Personally, I believe the Earth is talking to us, but we don't know what it's saying.
Tell her about that one couple, Mickey, Rory said.
Mick set his fork on the table.
One American couple gave me a €400 tip at the end of the tour. Can you believe it? They said they were transformed, they did.
You're such an idiot, Rory said.
He hit the top of Mick's head with his palm.
What's an idiot? I asked.
You know, an idiot. Someone who's lacking in the brain department.
Oh, an idiot.
That would be himself.
Mr. Parker walked in.
How do you sleep, boys? He asked. It was so windy our camper was shaking. Hard to get a good night's rest.
Nobody can sleep anyway because Rory snores so loud, Sean said almost ruthlessly. He's useless, he is.
He's an excellent worker, Mr. Parker said.
Ah, teacher's pet, Sean said to Rory.
Mr. McCoy rambled in, looking seriously like he needed more sleep. I felt bad for him. He even swayed a bit as if he were going to fall over. He took 3 sausages, and then Mr. Dark came in and took 3 more. Then Mick asked for more. Unbelievable. Ji-chan started chuckling. Everyone fell silent, again waiting for him to explain. But he didn't say anything. Then he began laughing quite hard.
Everybody was looking at him.
Got a good joke then, Toshiro? Mick asked.
Ji-chan looked at Mick in surprise.
Joke?
It's just that you were laughing so much, Mick replied.
Ji-chan said,
Oh, I laugh because one day, 2 years ago, I drive all the way to grocery store before I remember I no need the grocery. I supposed to go to dentist.
That no funny, Oba-chan said. We have to pay dentist for a missed appointment.
There was another brief silence at the table. Mr. Parker reached for 4 sausages. Finally, Mrs. Parker couldn't stand it anymore.
How many sausages were cooked? She blurted out.
We made 30, like you instructed, I answered. Robbie sat down and drank his coffee just like a grown-up. Obviously slightly annoyed with me, Mrs. Parker said,
Well, Robbie loves meat. It's his favorite part of breakfast. For this one thing, I give you permission to alter the number of sausages specified.
Yes, boys need meat. Very important, Oba-chan said. It's a very bad tragedy if he no have meat for breakfast.
She shook her head.
Tragedy, tragedy.
I knew Oba-chan was being serious because boys needing meat was one of her most important rules in life. But Mrs. Parker couldn't seem to tell if Oba-chan was agreeing with her or mocking her. Mr. Parker pushed away his plate and said,
We're in a tight situation here. One of our customers up in Oklahoma called this morning before dawn to say their wheat is ready to cut, and they're expecting rain. We'll need to work late tonight, probably until 2 again. If we don't get up there soon enough, I'll have to find other cutters to take our place, and I don't want to lose that job.
He stood up and glanced around. Even though Ji-chan hadn't finished eating, he got up and stretched his back and neck to ready himself for work. Ji-chan ate very slowly, so I was worried he hadn't gotten enough to eat. Mr. Parker didn't say another word, but all the other workers got up too and readied themselves to leave, taking along the sandwiches I had already prepared for them for lunch. Everyone left at once, except for Robbie. Oba-chan got on all fours, resting the top of her head on the linoleum. This was something new. Robbie watched her with interest. I started stacking the dirty breakfast plates.
Oba-chan, are you okay? I asked.
No, I think I'm dying. This is it. Don't forget to make more meat next Sunday. If I die, I won't be here to remind you.
Robbie was studying my grandmother.
Shouldn't she go to a doctor?
He asked. She's gone to 17 different doctors, 6 chiropractors, and 3 acupuncturists, and nobody knows exactly what's causing the pain. I turned to place the plates in the sink.
Don't you ever stop working? Robbie asked.
I spun around and was startled by how close he was. He was about a foot away from me, right inside my personal space. Cooking is supposed to be my grandmother's job, but she's got her horrible back pains. She fell on her back when she was a little girl, but she wouldn't tell me how. Ji-chan said, however, that she fell climbing out of a window. He didn't enlighten me as to why she was climbing out this window, but clearly she had been a troublemaker. I could feel my face in flames. He looked at me in a perfectly normal fashion, as if girls always blushed fiercely when they talked to him. I swallowed some saliva. Next, he took out a quarter from his pocket, flipped it into the air, and caught it before slapping it on the table. He looked at the coin.
Heads. I guess I'm doing schoolwork.
He lingered a moment.
Are you going to cook Japanese for us one day?
We're doing shabu-shabu one day. Your mom said we could.
What's shabu-shabu?
It's thick noodles with thinly sliced beef and vegetables. I mean, the vegetables aren't thinly sliced. You cook it in a pot in front of you, and after you're done eating, you drink the broth, and... Oh, I forgot to mention there are 2 sauces you dip everything in, and it's just so good. We brought the sauces with us from home, and we're going to cook it all on the stove before serving it. We even brought our special meat slicer. The reason we own a slicer is that my mother works cooking in a hunting lodge in the off-season, and a lot of the customers there like shabu-shabu, so we need the meat slicer for that. It's a really good one. We paid like $1 million for it because we eat shabu-shabu once a week. Couldn't get myself to shut up. I was babbling like an idiot.
I pressed down on my lips to keep myself from talking more.
I had some cooked sashimi once in Oklahoma. It was pretty good.
Uh-huh, I said. Cooked sashimi didn't make sense because sashimi meant raw fish. It was like saying cooked raw carrots. But I didn't want to insult him. I mean, it's kind of unusual, but unusual things are really cool because of their unusualness, even if they're, you know, unusual. I was sounding dimmer by the moment.
Do you want me to show you something amazing at the barn?
I glanced at Oba-chan, the top of her head still resting on the floor. Sure, yes. I went rushing out the door before Oba-chan had a chance to stop me. Thunder, as always, followed me. Was this a date? That thought made me take off my apron and stuff as much of it as I could into my back pocket. We strolled toward the barn, which was made of some kind of reddish wood. The roof was painted brick red. When we went inside, we stopped in front of a blonde bull in a standing stock in the middle of the barn.
They're going to enter him in the state fair, Robbie said. He's one of those bulls they wash and blow dry and all that to get them ready. They put a little rose water on him too, just a little bit. They want him to smell good, but not girly. They even trim some of his hairs.
I wondered how Robbie knew so much about this bull. My grandfather worked as a cattle fitter for a while. He's a nice-looking bull, I said, but he's not standing right.
They hired another fitter to help with that, Robbie said.
I nodded.
But that's not what I wanted to show you, he continued.
We passed a few stalls until he stopped at an especially big one. And there stood the tallest horse I'd ever seen. Maybe it was an illusion, but he looked like he could be 20 hands. I knew he couldn't possibly be that tall, because the tallest horse in history was about 21 hands. I had read that in my brother's list of the biggest animals in history. He had made the list when he was 8 years old.
Cool, huh?
Robbie said. He rested his face on a metal bar. He seemed in awe. I saw a huge Shire horse at a county fair once, but this one is definitely bigger, I said. This horse was black with white feet and a skimpy black mane. He eyed us calmly.